Welcome to our self-help Kansas basketball podcast. My name is Preston Samuels. This is Dylan DeLisi. We were on SoundCloud, but SoundCloud is expensive. So we are now just going to be on exclusively on iTunes.
Yeah. If you don't have Apple, you don't have us because we're poor. But if you'd like to sponsor the podcast, shoot either of us an email, or you should probably listen to it first. Listeners usually help with the whole sponsorship thing. But if you're looking into it, let us know.
You can find us on Twitter at RolePlayers35, at RolePlayers35. Just you can send us a Twitter message, since I'm probably not going to send out my personal email.
It's tweet.
Whatever. We're going to go ahead and get started. Dylan and I were in the building for the Washburn Kansas game, one of those really exciting exhibition games. It's one of those games where if it's a good game, it's a bad game.
Yes.
And that's, not what we wanted, obviously, but it was fun. It was fun. We're going to have three winners and losers. We're going to go back and forth since you're the guest, Dylan. I'll let you have the first winner.
Okay, well, first off, we should probably say that KU won the game 92-74. So obviously KU is the winner, but it didn't seem like KU was winning much in this game just because of how ugly the game was. So my first winner, I'll go with the obvious one first. I'll go Frank Mason as my first winner. Frank Mason scores 21 points in this game, by far the leading scorer. Also, by far the leading rebounder with 10 rebounds and 9 assists. So, Frank Mason having a big game against opponents who are short, I think that for a while I thought that didn't matter much. But if you look at how he scored, a lot of that was done with a four-guard lineup that we'll talk about later. And it seemed that he was loving the idea of having an empty lane for him to drive through. So I think this could be a sign of good things to come from Frank. Maybe not 21 points a game, I'm not saying that. But I am saying he's loving having two bigs down low instead of four. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's a good one. I think Frank was the player that Bill Self said he was the only one that had a good night was Frank.
Yes.
My winner, obviously, hashtag Free Svi. Finally kind of became, in our first game of the season, he's always been in the corner for our corner shooters, but you got to make threes to be a corner shooter, and he did, and that's helpful for him. That's some things, Svi is, he's tall. I think we forget about how tall he is. He's tall, he can create his own shots, which is helpful. And he was making them against Washburn. Contested threes, open threes. We're going to take that.
Svi went
4 for 6 from the three-point line, which is just, sign me up for that.
And 5 for 7 overall. I'll agree in a heartbeat that Svi definitely won this game. Not only as far as his shooting prowess goes, which I think does terrific things for his confidence, but also when it comes to the kind of lineup that we played. Svi appears, or at least got this game, starters-like minutes. So I could see him playing a lot, especially if we keep playing big, which we might be forced to if we get in the type of foul trouble that we saw happen in this game. Yeah, Svi ends up with 24 minutes in this game, shoots 60% from three, and adds a couple of free throws, and I think he had a nice drive in there somewhere. Ending up with a nice average there as he gets 16 points and is the second leading scorer on this team. So there's no issues with that except for the fact that he added, I think it was 0 assists
and
5 turnovers.
Yeah.
And I'm not, I'm not a stats guru.
We're on the winners here. We're on the winners. We can get to that in a little.
Well, he is a winner, though. It's just there, at that. He's not as much of a winner as Frank is because there was part of his game that really suffered.
Sure.
In that an assist-to-turnover ratio of literally zero is never that desirable.
Yeah, yep. Your second winner.
My second winner, I will go with, here comes the surprise pick, since there weren't many winners in this game. I will go with a surprise pick of Udoka Azubuike.
Woo!
Udoka's a winner here, not because he played exceptionally well in this game. 5 points. No, well, okay. I'll tell you first his points, then I'll give you some other stats from him. Udoka scored a total of 5 points in this game, which is, ironically, the exact amount of fouls he had in this game. In 8 minutes of play. Now, you could say, how in the world is he winning in that situation? Well, the only way that he really won in this game was, first off, when he was in there, he looked fairly dominant from a size perspective, which we all expected against Washburn. But he also won in being the first guy off the bench. Landon picks up 2 fouls within the first minute and a half, and suddenly Udoka is in there far before anyone expected him to be. And except for his foul trouble, seems to be the first big off the bench, which was something that we didn't necessarily see coming going into the year.
My second winner, don't overthink it, Josh Jackson. First half, 0 points. I believe 3 turnovers in the first half. 2 the first time he touched the ball. But he looked good without scoring. He makes, to steal a cliche, he makes basketball plays. Things that we have not always received from our one-and-done players. Do I need to even say the name Josh Shelby to make you cringe? You know, the passes, the way that he looks with the ball. You know, the first time he got the ball, doesn't pass it to our 2 point guards that's starting. He takes it up. No complaints from the players. No complaints from the coaching staff. I like it. I like that he can control a half without scoring.
My favorite Josh Jackson play in this game was one that will probably go completely unnoticed other than me. And I think Preston knows what I'm going to say. Because at one point, Josh is standing at the top of the key and just holding the ball. Not much is happening with the offense, since not much actual offense was run in this game. But he's standing there holding the ball. I think it's Udoka is down low with the seal. And there, he is guarded heavily, though. And there is about, I would say, a 1-foot-ish window.
Yep.
Of where Josh can put a pass.
Yep.
And he lobs in a pass that hits Udoka right in the middle of the hand.
Perfect.
Perfect. Just pass. Right where it needs to be. So Josh spent a lot of the first half trying not to make mistakes, and in doing that, making a lot of mistakes.
Sure.
Because if you're trying not to, it's definitely going to happen. So always trying to make the perfect pass and always trying to make the perfect play without scoring. And you could see that mindset was changed at halftime. But one thing I did love is he has that touch and that ability, that polished nature that I don't think we've had from a one-and-done, and I'm not sure existed in a one-and-done very often.
Yep, it'll be exciting to see.
Mm-hmm.
Your last winner.
This is going to be a strange pick, but I'll go with the losers of this game, the Washburn Ichabods. It sounds strange to call them the winner in this game when they lost by 18 points, but they definitely did not get embarrassed out there at any point today.
Yeah.
In the second half, it was as close as a 9-point game fairly late. And, you know, there was never any threat of them winning this game. But the fact that you come into Allen Fieldhouse as a Division II school and you don't get embarrassed,
yeah,
you have some nice plays, you knock down some shots, and your execution and free throws away from making it a fairly close game, especially going into halftime. You know, if they would have shot better from the line, which is probably something we'll talk about later, they were 8 of 23 from the line. That's 15 points left at the charity stripe when you lose by 18. And suddenly, if you're making 90% of those, or even 70 or 80% of those, you're in a much, much closer game.
My last winner,
mm-hmm,
LeJarrett Vick, came out very aggressive. Still too many turnovers, but came out aggressive. Something that I'm sure that the coaching staff and players have seen. But I don't know if we've seen as just fans. And I think that's good. You know, we've lost a lot of points. You know, we obviously saw we've only seen them against Washburn. But we scored points in the paint, but it wasn't at the same efficiency, you know, without Perry. You lose Wayne, who obviously inconsistent scorer, but could drop 20 points. It's going to be interesting where our points keep coming from, and it's good to know that we can bring someone off the bench and get us some bench scoring.
My favorite thing about Vic's game was his first two times with the ball. It might not have been his first two times, but his first two attacking moves with the ball. Chris and I both noticed at the game that he takes it directly at the rim and then attempts to just jump over everyone. And when I say everyone, I'm not talking about the big man down low. It seemed like he was trying to jump over three or four guys in the lane, which is usually not a good idea, but I think he made one layup like that. And the other one he had, I think he missed, but he got fouled.
Yeah.
So this aggressiveness that I haven't seen out of a player like that in a long time was really nice.
To our losers, I'm going to start on the losers.
Go ahead.
The losers, Spee and Josh Jackson.
You had them as two of your winners.
I had them as two of my winners. Combined, 9 turnovers. Not good. Not good.
I don't understand. I don't think you understand how the idea of winners and losers work.
Yeah.
You can't win and lose.
Yep. 9 turnovers. You can't do that. With this small ball lineup, it's ironic that they're going to have the ball a lot. But right now, I would say Devontae probably shoots threes like the most consistently. Mm-hmm. So he's going to be off the ball quite a bit. They're my two losers. They're going to have the ball out in their hands this year, especially Jackson. Mm-hmm. You can't have 9 turnovers.
Well, they have 9 turnovers together, but KU ends up with 20 overall, which is a number far too big, especially against a team like Washburn. And that's not made any better by the fact that 14 of those came in the first half. So it was a turnover-prone night for the Jayhawks. My first loser is going to be someone who I absolutely love in Carlton Bragg. Carlton Bragg has a slow night from the field overall. Doesn't really get his offense going, and I think that he'll be helped by the offense actually running rather than doing what it's been doing in the exhibition-type games where it's a lot of one-on-one play. But he shoots 3 of 4 from the field, scores 6 really quiet points, but if you're trying to fill, and I'm not expecting him to fill Perry's shoes completely, but he's going to have to take a more active role in the offense in order to make the kind of difference KU needs him to make this year. As well as that, he didn't rebound well at all. You know, he ends up with 2 rebounds in this game, and you cannot have that from a starting power forward. Who, you know, he ends up playing 14 minutes, and a lot of that is not, he wasn't one that was necessarily in foul trouble all night. He was just one who got in Bill Self's doghouse for not rebounding. And suddenly, if you're in that doghouse, you're also on the bench. That's where that doghouse resides. So Carlton Bragg is going to sit, and then Bill, even after the game, already started the threatening Carlton Bragg mind games by saying, you know, if they can't learn to rebound, we'll just have to go to a 4-guard lineup more, which doesn't seem to make much sense. But I think the idea is, if you can't defensive rebound with 2 bigs, you might as well just put 1 in there because, you know, can't get much worse. So he's already threatening Carlton Bragg's starting job, which is something noted on the Kansas City Stars podcast this week. Yeah. Something that, you know, those mind games are already happening.
My second loser, mm-hmm. Bill Self.
Would you like to explain that?
Yes. See, you have a night where Landon and Udoko get in foul trouble. Carlton Bragg, supposed to be filling Perry Ellis' shoes, needs a confidence game. And you look at it, we've got 1 more exhibition game. And then in 14 days from the game that we just watched, the Washburn game, you play the number 1 team in the nation. Now, I know they're injured, but still, number one team in the nation, Coach K, the Spotlight Showcase Challenge. We need Carlton Bragg feeling good. If I told you before the game that Landon was going to be in foul trouble, Udoka was going to be in foul trouble, and our other bigs would not be playing well, you would have thought that that my man Bragg would have had a great game. But he didn't, and it's because of one mistake. He came out, and he knew exactly what was going to happen, because when he didn't get that rebound, he sprinted to the bench. He knew Bill Self, second loser, for ruining Carlton Bragg's season already.
See, you say that. I think Bill Self loved this basketball game. He didn't love what happened, but he loved what he can do with this. It's like, have you heard the story about the Dream Team's first game?
Yes.
How Michael sits on the bench a lot of the time.
Yep.
And they lose.
Yep.
Against a whole bunch of college kids. In their first game, the Dream Team loses. Mm-hmm. In a closed door type scrimmage. And afterwards, a lot of people, the conspiracy theory is, the game was lost on purpose. Because the then head coach of the Detroit Pistons, who's coaching the Dream Team, at that point wants them to get it in their minds that you are beatable. I'm not saying that Bill Self's trying to lose this game. What I am saying is, this game gives him a lot of fire and ammunition for practice. And he already said the next practice was, let's just say, fairly vigorous in the amount of work that was done and the amount of effort that was done. And I think Bill Self, that's how he wants it to be. So the fact that he can say, well, if you're not going to try rebounding, it's not going to happen, and then he can show them the tape saying that. And if you can say over and over, well, you need to play transition D, and then he can show them the tape of them not doing that and getting scored against for not doing that, then I think that helps him a lot come the next couple weeks.
Nope. No, I disagree. You're second loser.
Hey, you've been wrong a lot before, so I like my chances. I'll go with my second loser being, I won't know in either all three of their names, I'm not aware of, but my losers are the officiating crew that took control of this game. There's been different points of emphasis for this year. One of them is for big men, if you're sealing or blocking out, you're not allowed to really use your hands at all. It's just supposed to be elbows up. Nothing from the forearm down, which is a point of emphasis, and blocking fouls, just fouls in general, are a point of emphasis, which made this game really hard to watch at times. You know, there was almost 100 possessions for KU in this game, and it was just because of how often the game was stopped and free throws were taken. Every now and then, it was just a hideous game to watch. We paid, what was it, $8 for tickets?
$8, yeah.
And it was almost at points like, man, I might have paid too much to watch people shoot free throws.
Mm-hmm.
Because
Shoot free throws badly.
It wasn't even made free throws.
Yeah.
These free throws were sub-quality free throws that we were watching.
Yeah.
I can watch that anywhere. So the idea of taking the basketball out of the players' hands is something that I don't enjoy. And the idea that this helps with the flow of the game, especially, well, early it doesn't help with the flow of the game at all. And I question whether it does later. So I'm not a fan of those decisions and the new emphasis so far, but hopefully, you know, that calms down once referees have a few weeks to think, this does not help our livelihood if we constantly call fouls and people hate us. So hopefully that changes a little.
My third loser, college basketball fans. The product that we saw, I know it's the first game of the year, but the officialing has made it where, if you're not invested in a team, why do you randomly turn on a college basketball game and watch? That's my question. You know, we love KU. We're going to watch all the games no matter what. But if you're an NBA fan and it's, you know, Saturday evening and your NBA team is off, you know, why would you want to turn on the random college game at the end of the night? Because you can say whatever you want about the NBA. You like it, dislike it, whatever. At least it's free-flowing. And that is the complete opposite of what college basketball is. we like college basketball because we like Kansas, but right now it's not even, you can't even use the argument they're playing the game the right way, because for large majority of the night, they're not playing a game. They're just boxing out at the free throw line.
We should have made the Major League Baseball one of our winners. That would have been a clever pick.
Yeah, but it would have been.
It's too late for that now. I'll go with my last loser being, and I'll make my last loser thermostats in general. It was a warm day on Thursday, or it was Tuesday. It was a warm day on Tuesday, and that carried over into the evening. And Allen Fieldhouse is over 50 years old now. It's over 100 years old, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, definitely 150, right?
Yeah, yeah. So Allen Fieldhouse has been there for a while. I think it had its 75th anniversary is what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, yeah. 50.
But, you know, it's been there for a while. There was no air conditioning. And the poster giveaways that were handed out at the door were quickly fashioned into fans by the fans there. See that wordplay there?
I did. I got you.
Enjoy that. You won't get much more. So that was definitely a negative for a lot of people there, as by the time we got to our seats, you know, heat rises.
Yeah.
So it was right there with us.
Yeah, it was.
Towards the top of Allen Fieldhouse.
It was our companion, that's for sure.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. It was definitely present. You could feel it.
We're gonna move on from winners and losers to just talking about Bill Self actually played small. Do you think he's going to do this when it matters?
I don't think he'll have an option. I think that's why Bill Self's playing small, is that this lineup is in a way that he really trusts 1.5 bigs this year. I don't think he completely trusts Carlton Bragg, as he keeps on saying, I wouldn't say negative, but definitely not encouraging things to the press about him. He definitely doesn't trust the freshman, and Dwight Colby is someone who he's kind of questioned openly why it's taken so long for him to recover from a knee injury that has hobbled him to a point where during this game he didn't look, I guess the word explosive is a good way to put it. He didn't look very explosive this game.
Or just good.
Good. Just, good is just, another word you could use to describe something that was not him.
Yeah.
So, you know, with that in mind, I think he will play small ball out of basically necessity. And I think it's come to this for Bill Self to be forced to do this. But I think it might end up being better for this team.
I was kind of concerned when he came in. I thought he was going to be like Jamari Traylor.
Uh-huh.
But right now, he's not at Jamari Traylor level, which is saying something.
Well, he's also not, you know, Jamari Traylor was based off energy. And right now, he doesn't seem to have that. You know, Jamari got by off energy and athleticism. And if you do not have energy nor athleticism, but you still have the skill level of Jamari Traylor, you're going to be in some trouble.
Yeah, yeah. That's what he was in. He was in trouble.
We also saw Bill Self, and we have talked recently about implementing some kind of zone to go with the small ball, and Bill shied away from that today, and this last game, and whether that was because we were playing a smaller team or if it's because they haven't had time to practice it yet. He had Josh or Svi often guard the four straight up, and they suffered because of that. You know, there was, you know, they got sealed off every now and then in a way that was not encouraging. But the fact that I know that you don't want to see them go to his own, Preston, and I question whether the rest of KU basketball or Bill Self wants them to as well. So the idea that Josh could guard a four straight up is encouraging.
Well, they ran a zone or a sagging man defense for a while.
You say they ran a zone. I think it was just really bad man-to-man.
It could have just been bad man-to-man defense. It did not look good. It did not look good at all. And you could definitely tell that Svi and Josh Jackson, I mean, they definitely had the hype to play against Washburn's four, but you could definitely tell they didn't have the post instincts at all.
Not afraid of heights. We're afraid of widths.
Yeah, yeah. So that'll be interesting going forward, you know, playing a team that has a good four. You know, are they good enough offensively to make that mismatch on both ends? Obviously, you can have a mismatch against a four, defensively, can you make it super uncomfortable for the other team while you're on offense?
They played small quite often, but every now and then they also played gigantic. And what I mean by that is having Lucas and Udoka on the floor at the same time. That's that is some meat inside.
Yeah.
And that clogs things up pretty quick. So the diversity on this team is something that we can look at throughout the year and monitor because, wow.
The Celtics, who I follow
right now
for the NBA, you know, and we're watching their game right now against the Cavs. I follow them because of Paul Pierce, you know, the KU connection as a kid. And they have unleashed their lineup of death this year as well, you know, a la Golden State Warriors, when they bring in Marcus Smart, and who's not a fan of the podcast or KU basketball. They bring in him, and they sub him in for the power forward position. You know, and so what do you think KU's lineup of death is there? Their different lineup that's not their starting lineup, then come in and make big runs.
Let's see. I think possibly KU's best lineup or lineup of death that people like to talk about as Frank at the one, Devonte at the two, probably Svi at the three, Josh at the four, and then just due to needing some size in there and defensive rebounding, I put Landon at the five. And I really want Carlton to be a part of that, but I think that you might need a bigger big to go with all those small guys.
Yeah, right now, though, I'm leaning towards Carlton.
Well, he did have such a good game.
Yeah, you know, and why you do Carlton is you're just hoping that they don't have a team that has a back-to-the-basket guy. And if they do, you know, are they going to be able to keep up with Carlton? Because he can run like a forward, you know, like a small forward or a shooting guard. So you're hoping that he can make life really uncomfortable. And I think that's the biggest question with our small ball lineup. Can our offense make the other team uncomfortable?
And I think the other question that goes along with that, is will we be able to rebound in any offense we play, any defense we play? Because the answer against Washburn was no. And Washburn's a small team, which maybe that helped them on offensive rebounding every now and then, which sounds strange, but quicker, faster, smaller guys can often get around you when you're trying to seal them off to get the rebound. So hopefully that changes here soon.
So we're gonna transition into, can we take anything away from this game? You know, we saw Vic and Svi, Jackson at points, Udoku at points, play well. But it doesn't mean anything because we know that they can play well at their high school level, at their AAU level. And for Svi at the international level, he could play fine. But does it mean anything because it's against Washburn? Can we take it that Svi plays well? I mean, we know that Svi can play well against inferior talent. I mean, that's the reason why he came to KU, because in Ukraine, he could tear it up. Can we take anything away from these positives of Vic, Svi, Udoku? What do you think?
I think we can take some things away from it. I think there are certain things you have to really throw out, such as Landon scoring points and Udoka scoring points against guys that are just so much smaller than them. Those things don't really count at all. But I guess the concepts is what you take away. The concept of playing small and it working at times is something you can take away. The fact, I think, people are going to shoot the same way regardless of who they're playing. So the fact that Svi shot well and looked confident that after, I think, airballing his first three. He airballs the first three, and my first thought was, like, this is going to be a long season for Svi shooting. And he had a certain confidence that he didn't have the last year or the year before in taking that second one and that third one and that fourth one in rhythm in a way that, you know, it used to be if he'd missed the first one, you could almost chalk it up as a loss for that game.
Yeah,
as far as Svi's game went, so
a missed basket or a turnover, you know,
and that was it. Confidence was gone,
yeah.
And we were done as far as Svi goes. But this game, he seemed to bounce back in a way that was really encouraging. So hopefully, that'll continue to carry over. And I think the other person shooting who didn't have a great night shooting but shot well enough to please me was Josh. You know, he needs to make enough shots or have enough shots that look good for them to respect a three threat from him, which I don't expect him or even am foolish enough to hope for him to be one of the better three-point shooters on this team, but he needs to be good enough that they just don't sag off of him, and I think he showed in this game that he can be good enough that they don't leave him wide open. He's not Rajon Rondo. That is what I'm trying to say.
Well, and, you know, one of our first podcasts, we talked about the hitch in his shot. Uh-huh. And it's something that I saw in his first shot. Oh, no, that's not good. You know, but then he had another shot. He didn't make it, but he crossed the guy over a couple times and just really put the guy on skates and had a really nice open range jump shot. You know, if he can make that defender do that and knock down that shot every once in a while, I mean, he is so smooth going to the basket.
Yep.
Just effortless. And the difference between him and Wiggs is, again, game one, but he was making those layups.
Mm-hmm.
With Wiggs, we love Wiggs. Great guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we don't know him personally.
We assume seems like he's a nice guy, though, doesn't Canadians, he? Canadians, they all are nice, right?
He would take it, it would look so smooth, so acrobatic, but if he didn't get the foul called, a lot of missed layups.
Yep.
And we saw a lot of made layups, which is nice. Again, game one, Washburn, we understand, but we can only do what we got. I mean, we're just happy to see him play. Trying to do this podcast without them playing basketball was, you know, it's fairly interesting.
I'm sure it was interesting for you three listeners as well. So,
hi, Dylan's mom.
Hi, Mom.
There's a... Because she listens to the podcast.
Oh, she does. She does.
You know.
Or has listened.
Has listened.
She might have quit by podcast three. We'll see.
We're going to move on to recruiting time with Dylan. Dylan, you have any recruiting news for us?
My only recruiting news is to watch for news. This coming Monday, Troy Brown, who's a top recruit for the 2017 and who has Kansas on his list, is committing on Monday. So look out to see where he is going. And then I guess the big one would be the day before we play Indiana. We play a different kind of game against Alabama as Colin Sexton, who's considering both of those schools, will make his final decision. He has announced on the 10th. So keep your ears open, or not really ears, keep your eyes on Twitter, and I'm sure you will hear that news. 24/7 Sports, as we plug quite often, will have news down to the wire, and if a whole bunch of people are picking a certain school right before, then you can be pretty assured that's where he's going. They're fairly good, especially the day of, with making picks that are consistently fairly accurate. So get excited for those days, as you know, we don't have to wait like we might have to for Trey Young. So hopefully we'll get that news, and it'll be good news, and at least one of those guys, and could help the recruiting class immensely.
It's always good to get players. You know what I mean?
And these are game-changing type players. I hope you guys realize that. These are guys who will probably be there for a year, but guys who can help in that next year where a lot of people question how solid KU will be, not this year, but next year, as it being one of the possibilities of, you know, if there was a time for the Big 12 reign to end, it could be this following year. So hopefully we'll get enough of those guys to supplement those we've got coming. And
see, and I think KU's got a bad rap with their appearance of not being able to get their guys ready for NBA. You know, you look at recently, you had Andrew Wiggins, number one overall pick, and Joel Embiid, trust the process, mm-hmm. at number three. Joel was widely considered a great candidate for the number one pick, except for the health issues. Obviously, he sat out 2 years of the NBA. Not great. He's come back with a big slash, though. And then, you know, you just look around, and our KU players in the NBA, you know, all-stars all the time? No. You know, you don't. You know, you had Paul Pierce. You have Wiggins, who will start making all-star teams hopefully soon. But you have guys that NBA teams want on their bench, that they want playing, maybe not starters minutes, but playing. You know, you look at, you know, Nick Collison has been with the Seattle Supersonics and Thunder organization from day one. And somebody that they view as just an invaluable resource, even though, you know, his playing time is obviously dwindled. You look at a guy that I really liked at Kansas, Cole Aldridge, got some major minutes last year because Blake Griffin punched a 5'4 guy, you know, and then now is getting some good time in Minnesota,
you know. KU North.
You know, we have KU players on Minnesota right now, Wiggs, Aldridge, and Brandon Rush, you know, keeping it strong.
If you don't have an NBA team you're rooting for, you are making a mistake if you do not pick the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yeah.
So I completely agree with you. Bill Self, the idea is, you know, it's my job to get him there. I'm not in charge of what they do after that. So with guys like Thomas Robinson, Ben McLemore, people say, well, those guys get drafted, but what do they do after that? Well, Bill got those guys drafted very highly, and they just happened to enter basketball black holes like Sacramento. So hopefully their success will go up in the future, and they won't have to deal with that negative stigma attached that might be floating around right now after Cliff Alexander and Sheck Diallo. So hopefully we avoid those things.
Sure, sure. Well, you know, I think sometimes people, you know, to be on an NBA bench is not a bad thing. You know, I mean, it's, you know, not everyone can have starting minutes. So it's good to see those guys still in the league, still playing. So we have some just rapid-fire questions. I'm going to ask Dylan some random questions. He's going to get his thoughts on. Right now, without breaking down win losses too much, where do you see KU's final win total being?
Let's see. I think I see KU losing around 4 games. I don't know when those come, but somewhere in that vicinity, which is really good. That's a high percentage of wins there. So I would get excited if I am right there. And I guess that answers your question to a degree at least.
Sure, sure. Do you see this team as a Final Four championship or bust team?
Yes. Yes. And I think that's the way Kansas is every single year. We made it to the Elite Eight last year. Were you guys happy? No? Okay, that's because you're fans of the University of Kansas. If you don't make it to the Final Four, if you don't win the national championship, it is a disappointment to most Kansas fans. So because of that, this year especially, it will be a disappointment to Kansas fans if they do not make the Final Four.
I'm still trying to get over that Michigan loss. You remember that? Oof.
Oh, Benny McLemore.
Oh, that one hurts. That one still hurts.
And it was supposed to, it was like a coming out party for Trey Burke.
Yeah.
Where in the world is he?
Yeah. Injured, stuck in Utah. You know, can't get
stuck in Utah?
Stuck in Utah. I don't know. Is Everyone he still, loves Utah. Is he still at Utah? I don't know.
I don't think so.
Maybe. I'm just not a fan of him in general after breaking our hearts. He's actually playing for the Wizards now.
That's worse than Utah.
I wouldn't want to be behind John Wall. I don't like John Wall as a basketball player, but I wouldn't want to be his backup either if I wanted to, play. He seems to be pretty talented.
Yeah.
Rapid fire question number 3. Who is our starting 5 starting Big 12 play?
I will go with the same starting 5 that started in the exhibition game right here, which is Mason, Graham, Jackson, Bragg, Lucas. I would be very surprised if that changes. And I think the most likely to change is them to actually start small. But we've seen with small lineups, they're often effective in, you know, that midway point in the first half when there seems to be a lull, you know, mixing things up rather than being the main weapon you're going with. So I would be very surprised if it changes.
Who is the guy that gets left off of the rotation in going into conference play?
Going into conference play, someone who doesn't get as many minutes as they should. Mitch Lightfoot, do you put him in the rotation?
I think you could see some early time, and then I think it could just be, okay.
I could also see it being Udoka as a Boyke. But I think they might have to play him just because they don't have another option.
I don't know if Bill's going to have a choice for that.
I don't think he would play him if they had other legitimate big options, you know, I think Udoka would spend a year not playing much at all, and I think Mitch would probably redshirt at that point. But that's not an option we have this year.
Yeah. Over under 7.5 Bill Self technicals this year.
Under.
Under. You think we're going to see a happy Bill this year?
No, I think when he's mad, though, it won't necessarily be at referees.
Okay. Okay. Over under. How many times do we get easy baskets in the Duke game? I'm gonna go with 21 easy baskets.
So 42 points off easy baskets?
Yes.
I'll go under there, but I do think it'll be a significant amount as a young Duke team tries to guard talented Kansas players.
Do you see us beating Duke?
I see us beating one of the two of those first teams. I think if we beat Indiana, it'll be hard to beat Duke, and I think if we lose to Indiana, it'll be easier for us to win against Duke, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Last one. Big one. Do we win the Big 12 championship?
That's not a question, yes.
not a question, huh?
It is less of a question this year than it has been throughout the entire title run of Kansas University. So.
It is pretty, seems like pretty weak. Oh, Shaka.
Yeah, Shaka, watch out for Shaka next year. Don't watch out for Shaka as much this year. And since I said that now, they'll probably challenge Kansas significantly. Also, I said the Kansas University when it's the University of Kansas. So I apologize to all those sticklers out there. Some people really hate the Lawrence Journal World for constantly calling them Kansas University, and I'm not sure why they don't just change. But they call them that repeatedly. And some people just hate it.
Like, you're in the same town as your college, and you can't get the name right. I was unaware that's an issue.
That's an issue, apparently.
Because I thought we were KU. You know, like, KU is what we're known as.
KU is what we're known as, but it's actually called the University of Kansas. That's the official name of the school.
Interesting. You're learning something new every day.
You're welcome.
We are the Rural Players Podcasting Network. We will get one up for the NBA. Dylan will be joining our NBA podcast soon. At least once, just rile up Jordan. We are on Twitter at RolePlayers35. We will be tweeting out the podcast. Thanks for listening.